Today I would like you to turn in your Bible to the book of Job, to the book of Job, chapter 25. Let's read verses 4, 5, and 6 together. Job, chapter 25. Now you listen carefully. How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight, in God's sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm? Now, this is the question that is asked over and over by Job and his friends when you read through the book of Job. How can a man, a sinful man, be justified or stand justified before a holy God? This is the greatest and most vital question that any man can consider. Yet in religion, in our day, it is the very question that nobody is asking. Nobody's considering this question. My friend, if we can learn the answer to this question, we've learned the gospel of God's saving grace. How can a holy God be consistent with His holy justice and yet justify the ungodly, justify the sinner? Now, that's the question that we want to consider this morning. This question is the question of questions, and it arises from the understanding of three essential things. Now, here's the three things: the holiness of God, the sinfulness of men, and how a sinner is justified before God. Or how can a guilty man be made free from all charges that God lays against him? Well, let's consider those three things this morning. God's chief attribute is holiness. The God of the Bible is holy. If there is one word to describe God, it is this: God is holy. Psalm 111, verse 9. Holy and reverend is His name. Psalm 99, verse 3. Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Everything about God and having to do with Him is said to be holy. His Word, we read from the Bible, and it's called the Holy Bible. His angels are called holy angels. His temple is called His holy temple. His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. His works are said to be holy and righteous. God Almighty sits on a holy throne of judgment and justice. Isaiah said this in Isaiah chapter 6. He said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, those winged creatures, the angels of God. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. My friend, when God manifests and reveals His love and grace and mercy and salvation to sinners, it must be in such a way that is consistent with His holiness. God is love. That is true. But God does not show His love or manifest His love or shine out His love at the expense of His holiness. God's love must be like Himself. It must be holy. How holy is God? Someone asked. Well, let me give you this. How holy is God? God is so holy that fallen Adam must be put out of the garden. God is so holy that Moses couldn't look on Him and live. So holy that Uzzah was smitten for touching the ark of God. So holy that King Uzziah was smitten with leprosy when he went into the Holy of Holies, disobeying God. So holy that He burned. God is so holy that He burned Sodom and Gomorrah to a cinder. So holy that He cannot look upon sin with favor. God is so holy that He cannot let sin go unpunished. My friend, but the grand design and the grand display of His holiness is manifested at Calvary. When the Lord Jesus Christ was made to be sin for God's elect, when God laid on Him the iniquity of His people, the sin of a certain people, we see the holy wrath of God fell on the Lord Jesus Christ without any mixture of mercy. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ cried out on that day? He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? The answer is recorded over in Psalm 22 in the Old Testament in verse 3. The answer is, but Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. God is so holy that He cannot let sin go unpunished, even when He finds it on His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When He was crucified and made the scapegoat, made the sacrifice for the sin of God's people, the holy wrath of God had to fall upon His Son. God is holy. There's no debate about that. It's not up for debate. There's no question about that. The God of the Bible is holy. The second thing we want to consider is this. What is the chief attribute of man? My friend, the chief attribute of man is sin. Do you remember the scripture we read just a minute ago? How can he be clean that's born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man, that is a worm, and the Son of Man, which is a worm. The heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like the water? It's recorded in Job 15. Man was not created a sinner. Adam was not created a sinner. Adam was created holy and upright before God. Adam had fellowship and communion with God. But Adam rebelled against God. Adam became a sinner. And through disobedience and through sin unto God, he became a sinful, depraved creature before a holy God. Wherefore the Scriptures declare, by one man sin entered into this world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, in whom all sin. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. You say, well, how did something that happened so long ago in the garden affect me? Well, Adam stood as a representative man. When he stood, we stood. When he fell, we fell. When he became guilty before God, all his race stand guilty as charged before God. Well, how sinful is man? Listen to what the Scripture says. Genesis 6, verse 5. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart are only evil continually. We are so sinful that we love darkness rather than light. Men everywhere are so sinful that by nature we're children of wrath, even as others. So sinful that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. My friend, this is what we are by birth, by nature, by practice, and by choice. So sinful that all our righteousness are nothing but sinful and smelly rags before the presence of a holy God. God said, there's smoke in my nose. So sinful that we are spiritually dead in sin, without God, without Christ, without hope. God calls us aliens and enemies, haters of God, workers of iniquity. It's pretty bad, isn't it? So sinful that God declares that there is none righteous, no, not one. He said, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Therefore, because of our condition, because of our nature before God, the creature, the sinful creature, the guilty man, has absolutely no ability to put away sin. No ability to put away sin. None whatsoever. No ability to make himself righteous before God. No ability to seek after God. He said, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh. No ability to satisfy a thrice holy God. Man is just not in trouble. My friend, we are totally depraved and guilty before God. And to deny this, John said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. To deny this is to call Almighty God a liar. These two things are indisputable facts. God is holy and men everywhere stand guilty before God. Now, here's the third question. How is a guilty sinner justified before a holy God? Now, that's the question of questions. And it's a question that nobody's asking today. How is a sinner justified before a holy God? How can God be just and justify the ungodly? We must find the answer from the Scripture, not from the books of men, not from the philosophy of this world. We must find the answer from the Scripture. And the Bible does give us the answer, how God can be holy and yet justify the ungodly. Now listen to the Scripture in Romans chapter 8. Verse 32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, that is, all the elect of God, all those predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, all those whom He foreknew in eternity, He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Now, here it is. It is God that justifieth. Who justifieth the elect? Who justified the ungodly? God did. How did He do it? God delivered up His Son. Romans 8, verse 34 declares, Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. What does it mean to be justified before God? To be justified is to be without sin, without guilt, just as if I never sinned, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight. To be justified is to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To be justified is to be free from the curse of the law. And my friend, in Christ, we have this freedom. He delivered us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. To be justified before God is to be reconciled to God through the blood, through the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's evident throughout the Scripture we're not justified by our words. Job said in Job chapter 9, he said, If I justify myself, my own words shall condemn me. If I say I'm perfect, it shall prove me perverse. So we're not justified by what we say, neither are we justified by what we do. We're not justified by the law. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. We're not justified by our words or by the law, or we're not justified by our works. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. And my friend, we're not justified by our puny religious efforts. Our Lord said to those self-righteous Pharisees, You are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So we're not justified by what we do, my friend. The only way we're justified is through the merit, the blood, and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you have your Bible, turn over to Romans chapter 3, and in closing, let's consider these verses. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the holiness of God. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's two things. Here we see the cause of justification. He said it's freely by His grace. For by grace are you saved. Sovereign, effectual, justifying, redeeming grace. That's the cause of justification. It's all found in God through the merits of Christ. That's the cause of justification. And also in verse 24, we see the source of justification. Justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. The source of justification is His substitutionary sacrifice that He made on the behalf of His people. Now, read verse 25 and 26. Whom God set forth. God set him forth to be a propitiation, an atoning victim through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed to the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ. God ordained and God set forth Jesus Christ to be the atoning victim. That's what propitiation means, mercy seat. God in Christ can be just and the justifier because the Lord Jesus Christ fully paid the sin debt of God's elect and imputed to every believer a perfect, satisfying, justifying righteousness before God. In Romans 4 we read, blessed is the man to whom God would impute righteousness without works. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. By the virtue of what Christ did on the cross, His people and His elect will be glorified and stand before God holy, unblameable, not guilty. Now, many believe that Christ died to make salvation a possibility for all, if we'll just do our part. My friend, that's not what's taught in the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ was not making salvation a possibility for all. The Lord Jesus Christ was saving His people from their sin when He died. He literally accomplished the salvation of all of God's elect. He obtained eternal redemption for His people. This is the only way an unjust man can be just with God. And dear friend, we can trust the Savior who accomplished a salvation like that. How can he be clean that's born of a woman? How can a guilty sinner stand before God justified? One way, the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood, His sacrifice. If you would like a copy of today's message, you write to me and I'll send it to you at no charge. My address is church, 6088 Zebulun Highway, Pikeville, Kentucky, 41501.